giving you the information. And you can also look up his past articles in both QST and Ham Radio Magazine. So there's a lot of past history that you can read about to refurbish this equipment if need be. Mel, go ahead.
Okay, I'm reading down the line here. Do you believe the feed line was 75 ohms? I guess this would be an ideal place to use that feed line that from the antenna companies. I would assume, yes, I guess you could use that 75 ohm feed line. I bet it would work real well on this thing. Over.
The 70 ohm CATV type hard line can be used on any frequency up to 1296. Beyond that, it starts developing an extremely funny loss characteristic. The way they chose the foam that they put in there is a material that's inexpensive and gives very good performance up to 1,000 megs, and then it dies rapidly. It's hard to choose material that does that, and they've done it. It was unintentional, but that's what happened. The materials that have good foam performance beyond 1,000 megs are more expensive. And CATV cable, because there's so many millions of miles of it throughout the United States, and I literally mean millions of miles, cost per mile is a big factor. So they chose a material to make the foam out of. But any frequency below 1,000 megs is an ideal cable. I think it's even quite good at 1296. I do know that at 2304, at 2.4 gigs, where I did some testing on it 3-4 years ago, it does have some peculiar loss characteristics up there. So, with proper installation of the connectors on the end, excellent cable. Back to you, Mel.
I think it's the aircraft here about the cable. What do you think it was said with originally? I would say most likely it was some, this kind of setup. Would you say it most likely was some kind of 75 ohm cable originally on this type of antenna, Dick? Over.
If you're talking about the blowtorch, I am guessing that each individual blowtorch was a 50 ohm impedance. Very few people in the United States make driven elements at 70 ohms. Some do. Europe is very popular, but the United States is not. And now, how you combined multiple antennas? On 1296, you can literally use an assemblage of type N key connectors, the UG107, which is a male common and two females as a T connector. You take one of those, you take a pair of UG29, I think they're called type N elbows, a male-to-male adapter, a female-to-female adapter, and you've got this long-legged T connector thing, which gives you a perfect 2-to-1 impedance match. I think there's a version of that with type N connectors that gives you a perfect 4-to-1 impedance match at 1296. W2IMU, Dr. Dick Turin, was one of the many guys advocating this. He had a beautiful set of notes that are called the Bell Lab Tech Notes, or the EME Tech Notes. Anyhow, there's about 35 or 40 of these tech notes. He was coming out with them roughly once every month there for quite a few years. And they are now available in bound versions of all of these EME tech notes, is what I call them now. They may have had a slightly different name. Or the Bell Labs tech notes, or the Dick Turin tech notes. W2IMU tech notes, that's probably what they were called. And so there's probably a website that's got those now. It's got a lot of very good information. If you're a UHF ham radio enthusiast, you definitely want to read the W2IMU tech notes. You go to the website of K2 Uniform Yankee Hotel, who has been the publisher of the EME News for 27 solid years. Alan Katz, K2 Uniform Yankee Hotel. You go to his website. Guarantee somewhere in his website you will find a buried reference to how to get a hold of the W2IMU tech notes. As I said, there's about 30 or 40 of them on all kinds of subjects of filtering, power generation, receiving, impedance matching, using a 3/4 inch water pipe at 10 gigs, making feed horns, the W2IMU feed horn, the so-called dual mode feed horn, is still the number one performer that anyone has ever discovered as a way of feeding a parabolic dish and getting high efficiency and low phase error. So you look up those call letters, W2IMU, repeater, timeout, cancel. You look up those call letters, W2IMU and K2UIH. And you may even find some cross-referencing in the Tom Williams, W1, like, I think it's obvious, Tom Williams call letters right now. All right. But he lives in Massachusetts. W2IMU is going to... here we go. Tom Williams, can't think of his call letters right now, has an also nice website on microwave ham radio, which will cross-reference all of his jazz. So I'm pretty sure that all the information as to how these things were built and how to get them back into working condition is available without even getting to Reed Fisher. Back to you, Mel.
Hey, yeah, roger. Okay, I guess they feel that we know all the sources of everything. I guess you gave a pretty good input on that. All right, well, I'm going to lose the repeater in a little while because this one would give Barry a real tickle. This guy wants to build his own phased array, and he wants to use design and to build his the hybrid coupler. He doesn't want to buy it because they got a price tag. The one that Barry was looking at, the price tag on those hybrid, phased array couplers and, that this guy sells the whole, business with the phaser and that whole business there. He gets a good buck for it. Barry, I don't know if he ordered it, but this guy wants to build his own. He asked me a whole load of questions about building my own electrically controlled phased array. he got a lot of good questions here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, my God, there's a couple of pages of questions here. My God, how to go about this thing. And so I think we'll let that go for the time being. Take over.
I just had a rush of brains to the head. Tom Williams is WA1MBA. If you Google WA1MBA, you'll find him immediately. Or if you simply go to his website directly, www.whiskeyalpha1mikebravoalpha.org. Beautiful website, lots of microwave information, a lot of cross-referencing. .KGUIH, his website. Also, W1 Gigahertz, Whiskey 1, Golf Hotel Zulu. His name will come to me in a minute. Paul, I can't think of Paul's last name. Anyhow, lives up in Massachusetts. A lot of these guys have got websites that have got lots and lots of information on this hardware. It was all developed in the early 70s, and some of these things have not been made better yet. Some of the Yagis have gotten better. The W2IMU, Whiskey 2, India, Mike Uniform, the Dr. Victorian feed horn. Nobody's come up with a better one. It launches two different waveguide modes simultaneously. Gives you much higher illumination efficiency and much lower phase error across the parabolic dish. And the blowtorch antenna, I do remember the guy in Maryland telling me about this, and he was communicating with all of these guys at the same time. Alan Katz, KTUIH, Dick Turin, W2IMU, Reed Fisher, W2CQH, and A1MBA, Tom Williams, hasn't ever arrived on the scene yet. If we look up Tom Williams, I guess he's a youngster. He's about 10 years younger than me. So he's one of these guys that just barely drive behind the ears. Back to you, Mel.
Very good. I should provide enough information. As blowtorch antenna configuration. I guess if he gets the thing for nothing, you can't really complain, clean it all up and you can put it back together. You still say it's a great, still, in other words, still a good viable antenna for $12.96, you would say in your book, over.
Yeah, $12.96 Yagis It's very hard to destroy them. The birds sitting on the loops are going to bend them, and you just bend them back. There's going to be some tarnish on the boom and the elements, but you're going to clean that up with Scotch-Brite if you want to. You don't really have to. It's only aesthetics. So getting that antenna in good operation, pretty easy. Those dishes, though, that's a much more enthusiastic endeavor to get them down, and are they worth the effort and the risk factor? Not super clear. But I guess we should start getting ready for a sign-off now. You got to get your beauty rest, because if you've got 83 emails last week and 93 this week, you're probably going to break 100. And I think it's time we start asking people to slow down a little bit now. Back to you.
Like I said, I can't answer them all. No, there's two different people. This guy wants looking at the 1296 blowtorch is not the same person that was involved with the Karabakh. I'm just saying, I'm having to pick out questions about figure that it would tickle your your imagination there. You know, Russ, but this is basically, as they say, up your alley. You know, these type of antennas and these people, I think it would bring back some very fond memories, maybe. Anyhow, okay. Yeah, I'll leave the rest to go for next week, this guy. I'm not going to, oh my God, here's another one with electrically, how to go about putting together electrically controlled phased arrays, and how to go about making the, you know, hybrid couplers and all that goodies, and oh boy, pages of questions. So, all right, listen, I don't mind. I thumbed through them, Dick. I can say, I'm going to have to, I just bypassed a number of them. Anything that we've done in the past, again, I'll say, go to that site there, that amateurradio.tv thing, and find it, and you'll get it all in a nutshell. Stuff that commercial companies, things that they want to sell a product, things that you want me to advise you on, whether or not to invest in something, forget it. I am not involved in any of this stuff, nor things that are involved in you're trying to develop a product or want to review some product in your company that has little or nothing to do with amateur radio. I'm not going to comment on, so I can say I skip over. Boy, oh boy, you should see some of this stuff and all. I can say it's not in our business. In other words, if it overlaps, it's something that you would require, in other words, consulting engineering.